Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the SOM TV podcast. My name is Jason Wise. On today's episode, I am going to pair Denzel Washington movies with wine, with none other than Julia Coney, a frequent guest of the show and one of my favorite people to talk about very odd things to pair with wine. Her and I are just going to keep doing this because it's just too fun, unless somebody stops me. Before we do that, this episode is sponsored by SOM TV. At the end of this episode, myself and our producer, Nadine Netman, are going to go through all the new episodes of Verticals. If you're a SOM TV subscriber, you know the show Vertical. Season 2 is finally coming, and we're going to announce the first 6 episodes. We're also going to talk about 4 feature films that we have coming soon. 2021 is going to be an incredible year for you subscribers. You can get SOM TV right now for $49.99 for an entire year at SOMTV.com. Without further ado, let's have some fun. Julia Coney. I am here with the lovely, one and only Julia Coney. How are you?
I am good today. I am good. I am rested. I am busy. But hey, busy and having a full life, I think, are really important right now in a positive outlook.
Rested and busy, those often don't go in the same sentence. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, but when I say rested, it doesn't mean that I received 10 hours of sleep. It means I'm rested and my mind, you know, is not fluttering at all times of the day, maybe only like 2 hours of the day, but it's kind of nice.
Yes, yes. I love having you back on the podcast. You are like, you put me in a good mood every single time we get to do this. And every time you're on, our topics get crazier and crazier. We paired some music that gets stuck in your head with wine. And this week, as we said at the end of that podcast, we are going to pair, you and I are firm believers that wine can go with anything, right? I mean,
wine is a lifestyle. That wine is a lifestyle. I keep telling people it's a lifestyle.
I love this. It's we are going to pair Denzel Washington movies with wine. Our favorites are ones that work. I mean, Denzel Washington for me, I'll just give a quick thing like where he fits for me and like my life and everything. I watch movies. I watch a movie every single day. I can't go to sleep unless I watch a film. And Denzel Washington is there's a couple people like him in history that fit this kind of a mold for me. I mean, I'd put him with like, you know, the best of the best of the best of the leading men that we've ever had in the, you know, U.S. Mm-hmm. film situation. So, I mean, you know, he may be above Tom Hanks. I always think that that's like the Michael Jordan and LeBron James argument, like Denzel and Tom Hanks. Who's the one, you know, but Denzel has more, apologies to Tom Hanks. I doubt he's listening. I think Denzel has more depth, you know, and I think of like, Denzel can be Steve McQueen, and yet Denzel can also be a bad guy. And Denzel can be a father, and he can be somebody who deals with some of the toughest things in history. And he can be, you know, a proud African-American, you know, in the roles he takes. And then he can also completely step out of that and play a military guy that's on a mission. You know, he's like the Terminator or something. So for me, I have not known a life in movies without Denzel Washington being a major part of my taste in films. And I think I'm going to mention some of his Tony Scott collaborations on this, but what does he mean to you?
So Denzel for me is, he's Saint Elsewhere. He's Dr. Philip Chandler. That is what I remember being a kid and my parents, you couldn't even talk when Saint Elsewhere was on. Like,
oh my God.
Don't ask for anything. You are not getting anything. Saint Elsewhere is on and we're watching his show. And that was where I discovered Denzel as a child, as a young kid in Houston. Was like, oh, my parents are like stopping everything that they do to watch this black man be a doctor on a TV show. And he was smart. He was charismatic. He was fun. He's everything you see in the movies now, but he just happened to be in a network series for a couple of years.
It's so funny. I totally forget that he was in that.
How did you forget he's Dr. Philip Chandler?
Like, because he was in Remember the Titans and all these amazing movies that I adore. And so I think of him, you know, I think of him from Glory. I think of him from Malcolm X. I think of him from Magnificent Seven. I mean, for me, it's just easy to overlook how many things he's been in and what his range is. Now, how does Denzel Washington fit into wine? Are we just crazy right now?
No, here's the thing, because of he's one of those character actors, he just becomes a different person, like you said. So wine is different. Regions are different. Wine changes all the time. Wine changes in the glass. So he's an enigma, right? So every time you see him in a movie, he's a different person, you know it's Denzel, and then sometime you forget. Remember that one tear in Glory when you like just was like, it's one tear rolling down, and like,
yeah, it's a tough scene.
Right? It's a tough scene. But if we think of scenes like that, and then we have him, you know, always in different movies where, you know, we're not saying yet where he, but he's like, he's funny, he's charismatic, he's engaging, he's, you know, as Eartha Kitt would say, beguiling. Like, it's just
well, he's you know, he's one of these guys, and people listening, people from come here for a wine podcast are like, what in the hell? He's one of those guys that you, I think women are very attracted to him, but yet guys want to hang out with him kind of thing. And that's a really tough thing to pull off, to be the, like, everybody likes you, you know. You can be, you know, Zac Efron, and women are like, wow, he's really attractive. But then guys are like, eh. But then you can also be the opposite. You can be some, like, guy's guy that men go and see as an action star. But Denzel is this weird kind of middle ground where everybody sort of, he fits so many niches that I, you know, I guess that's what makes him so damn good. And that's why we're talking about him on a wine podcast. I hope he drinks wine, by the way.
I don't, you know, it's a funny thing. I don't know. I don't really, you know, for me, he's more of, I see as a woman, you know, the attraction and of him as a human. But then I look at those movies and I'm like, he just seems cool.
Yeah, like, with, that's what, you know, I mean. It's that factor.
It's just he just seems cool too.
Well, so here's how we'll do this. Let's establish some rules. If both of us have the same movie on our list, whoever brings it up first, we'll just talk about that movie, right? Together.
Okay. Okay.
And I think that's the best way to do it. And then, you know, is this in an order from like 1 to 5, like our favorites or?
No, I have it based on year of the movie.
Okay. All right. So then I'll just kind of like go all over the place with mine. But all right. Well, I think we just dive into it. Sometimes, so I'm also thinking like what wine should you drink while watching the movie?
Oh, you know, exactly.
I won't get incredibly cute with like it pairs because it's the same name or it's, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, so, all right, well, why don't you start? Give me a number five film for you.
Okay. Number five, Mo Better Blues.
Yes.
Just, he is jazz. It is gritty. It is Spike Lee. 2013 Theopolis Vineyards Estate Grown Petit Syrah from California. There you go.
Why this one? Wait, first of all, tell people what Mo Better, if they've not seen it. I do not have this on my list, but I definitely have a Spike Lee film on my list. Tell me.
Which one you have.
I actually have two Spike Lee movies that are not this one, though I do love this film. Tell me, what is this movie and why did you pick that wine?
So I never really thought about Denzel in jazz, and he just plays this tortured artist. And for me, he's smooth, he's cool. And it was just very different in a way that I didn't expect him to be for me. You know, I just looked, I mean, he's playing a trumpet. I mean, he's, you know, he has the ladies and everything. He's just suave and debonair. He reminded me in this movie of Billy Dee Williams in Lady Sings the Blues. It's that same magnetism that comes across on the screen. It was just like, okay, that's what we're doing.
Mr. Cole 45, Billy Dee Williams.
Yes. or mahogany. But he just, it was like, I was like, okay, he's a leading man. You know, they always say that about certain actors, like he's a leading man, right? That's when I kind of understood that term.
Right. No, yeah, I think he was already around in 90. I mean, he was already kind of there, but you're right. This sort of put him, you know,
He was around, but I think it was just because Spike Lee, we're talking School Day Spike Lee, you know, all that. And here he is as this, you know, this is right after St. Elsewhere.
Right. So this was where you could go, this guy on a television star, he's also an effing movie star.
And this is after Glory. This is like, how do you go from being a doctor, then you being in an army, and then now you're in a blue jazz person? In his range was noticeable to me.
Yeah, Glory is the first time people went. I mean, you know, he was in Cry Freedom, and he was in a bunch, you know, a bunch of other films before this, but Glory's the first time that everybody went, who is this guy? Holy. And then, you know, if you think about, I did not put Glory on my list because I don't know how to pair a wine with that film.
I didn't put it on mine either.
but it's a tough movie, but I do love the film. I mean, I'm just going to be honest, but that particular movie, when you have, look at the cast of that, you know, I didn't mean to get off topic with Glory, but you're right. Who is this guy? And then you have Mo' Better Blues. And after that, he shoots out of a cannon, you know, Mississippi Masala, Ricochet, Malcolm X, Much Ado About Nothing, Pelican Brief, Philadelphia. No, but I mean, think about the run he goes on after 1990. All right. I'm sorry. So why the wine? Why the wine?
Okay. So the wine is because when I think of a jazz cafe, I'm thinking New York underground back in the day when you could smoke inside. You know, that's all I'm thinking about. And I'm thinking about this wine, Petite Sirah, California. Juicy, smoky, hedonistic almost. I'm putting myself in this jazz cafe, drinking this wine, listening to jazz.
Love this. Love this. Great call. All right, I'm taking, for my number five, I am taking Remember the Titans. Ooh. This is a movie, first of all, it's got that Disney kind of saccharine-y kind of thing to it. You know, it's got this very like everybody's, you know, it's a little, you know, look, it deals with race and I'm a fanatical. I love football. I love, love, love football to the moon. And this is a movie that when it came out, right place, right time for me, right age, I just fell in love with it. I've watched it so many times. And despite any flaws it might have, Denzel is not one of them. Denzel Washington, I think, is the only person who could have ever played the role of this coach who takes over a team that has been integrated, whites and African-Americans. And it is the nuance in this performance in a film that is trying so hard not to be too over the top and too controversial is just magic. I mean, this is a movie that I get goosebumps. I get emotional every time I watch it. And yet I know exactly what's going to happen. And he's the reason. I love this film, Remember the Titans. It's got all the sports movie cliche beats that are just made perfectly. It's got all the, you know, the chill moment. It's got the whole thing. So I'm going to take Remember the Titans, but since it's about high school kids and about coming together, you know, I'm going to pair this with Boone's Farm. Oh, and here's God. Why. Here's why. I'm going to take Strawberry Hill Boone's Farm because when I was that age, I don't care who you were. I don't care what your background was. You could look and go, yep, Boone's Farm, one of the very first things I ever had in wine. And that makes Boone's, I suppose, a weird, semi-gross titan of my past. And around the time of this movie, I bet those kids were either drinking Boone's Farm or Zima or something like that. So I'm not going high class. I'm going high school sneak a drink, you know?
Yeah, that is that.
I'm just glad you let me fit it in as one. So
no, here's the thing. I'm from Texas. Football is a thing. It's not just, you know, they play football.
It's a religion.
It's a religion right there. There is that. Like, and so Remember the Titans, I understand that. I can totally see why you picked that. I personally wouldn't have picked Boone because I didn't actually have that until college. But.
Well, so my backup was, you know, a good Mondavi, like a real Mondavi estate cab back from when he was still alive. Because if we're talking about Remembering the Titans, and this is a little on the nose, you're talking about a guy who really did put Napa on a world stage. He's a Titan. He is important. It's important to remember. And if you're going to drink one from, you know, before when he was involved, so like early 90s or late 80s, it would be delicious and smooth and wonderful. And that would be my backup if we were going to go real wine. That's why I thought you might say Boone's isn't real wine because it's it's not technically, you know, I think it's not really made like wine. So
yeah, but I would call it a gateway. I think I think it's an introduction to a lot of people. That's what they may start with or may have started with. And look at where you are now.
That's fair. I'm you know, if the economy keeps going, I'll be back to Boone's in no time. But all right, well, that's great. So okay, what do you have for your four?
Okay. You mentioned it, but you didn't really catch it, and I'm gonna tell you what I have. I have Ricochet.
Yes, I love Ricochet. I can't believe you put Ricochet on your list. Great. Okay, keep going. Okay. Tell me why. I love this film.
Okay. I remember watching Ricochet and thinking, this is when people say he's a movie star. Ricochet to me, Mo Better Blues, he was great acting, but Ricochet was like, he's an action hero. He's a movie star, where you put the emphasis on movie star, right? John Lithgow, bad guy. Denzel.
John Lithgow, I don't mean to interrupt you, but John Lithgow in this movie is just out of control. He's so off the rails. I love this film. I'm so glad you put this movie on the list. Such great. Okay, keep going. I'm sorry.
So great, right? Then you realize Ice-T is in it, right? And you have the rapper turned actor. This is when we see Ice-T. This is before all the Law and Order. This is Ice-T is moving into acting from rap. It is a transition movie that projected so many people in such a different way.
And think about where Ice-T was coming from. I mean, he had the whole, like, you know, the whole Body Count album, the Cop Killer stuff. Then went on to go play just so good. I might watch this movie tonight. So good.
Oh, and it's worth it. And my wine, and get ready for it. It is Champagne Pierre Peters Brut Blanc de Blanc Cuvée de Reserve.
Boom. Yes. I love this. Okay. Why champagne? It's so good.
Because I am celebrating everybody's technically launch pad from this movie. Ice-T's launch, Denzel, John Lithgow. Even though people in the theater world knew them, they didn't exist in the movie room. Like, that's when you realize, like, okay. Like, Denzel's a movie star. He is literally going to be an action star. He's going to be the one that we go on Friday night. You can't wait to the theater. You know, the theater's first movie is at 7 p.m. You're waiting in line. You didn't have advance tickets. The internet wasn't doing the same what it did now. This is when you know that. So we're celebrating that with champagne.
Now, this is another movie where the cast is out of control. You know, like Kevin Pollak and like all of these people that ended up being so great and in so many great things. Great call. Just a great call. I mean, so far you're winning. Okay.
We're both winning. We both like this is a win-win situation, this entire podcast.
That's right. That's right. I'll take it. So okay. I am gonna take for my number four, He Got Game.
Ooh, okay.
I love this movie. Two sports movies. I didn't really mean to do that.
One basketball, one football.
One basketball, one football. I love this film. I saw this movie in the theater, and I couldn't get it out of my head. It disturbed me so much, but not – I was so disturbed by it. You know, the scenes – I don't know if you remember this movie well, but the scenes where he goes to the college, and all the colleges are trying to woo him, and there's all the girls. And then, you know, say what you want about the lead's performance, which I think for him to, you know, he's a basketball player. So for him to walk into a movie, I think Denzel in this movie, it's one of his great, great, great performances. This I'll never get out of prison guy. And there's great lore with this film too. Apparently he played basketball for real against his son in that film. And, you know, it's one of these things where that, you know, they didn't know, you know, if you look at like the cast, Ray Allen, who plays his son, didn't know that he was going to play as hard as he was. There's a scene where he's supposed to just win, Ray Allen. And that's not what Denzel did. Denzel played a guy who is literally an NBA, he will be in the Hall of Fame. And he played him and almost beat him for real. I mean, it is like lore on movie stuff. That just goes to show the incredible range of this guy. He's actually an athlete. He's actually the things he's playing. I mean, very few times in a film does anybody playing basketball look like they can actually play. It's like one in a million. And I think that's why they picked Ray Allen, despite, you know, he wasn't an actor, but that's why they picked him. And then Denzel shows up and he looks like maybe the best basketball player on the court. And I love He Got Game. I've now watched it so many times. I think I watched it three times in the theater. It still disturbs me and makes me think and makes me uncomfortable and yet makes me cry. It's so sad. And I think it's one of Spike Lee's best movies. And it might be my favorite of his films if it weren't for, you know, his iconic, you know, first major film. That's my thing. And I'm going to take an oddball line here. So there's a couple, Pete and Jessica Stoltman, and they're also in Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. And I think I would pair. They have a Sangiovese.
Love You Bunches?
Yeah, Love You Bunches. A rosé, yeah. Or not a rosé. Their Sangiovese is the wine I would pair with this because I think in order to grow an Italian varietal, in California and actually have it be slightly Italian, but yet let it be where it's from, and to do it right and have it at a price point where anybody can drink it and make it not a novelty. I think that bottle of wine is Denzel playing basketball on this court, because I think that that wine is so unpretentious and yet shows up and does it. And I'm just, that's what I would pair. The Love You Bunches.
And I would add like the twin to that, which is Crunchy Roasty.
Yeah, that's
I would
right,
add the twin to Love You Bunches, add Crusty, Crunchy Roasty.
Those are good wines, aren't they?
They are amazing. I love them.
And they're so affordable. And these are also good people. If anybody listens to these and they're like, hey, I want to try these wines, buy wines from people who are good families and nice people. And they make great wine and you won't be disappointed. It's,
Yeah.
And Pete, if you're listening, I want 10%. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So what do you have for your number three?
Okay. My number three, of course, is Training Day.
Man, I knew you were going to take Training Day.
No, we're not taking it. We're going to do it together.
I know. I have Training Day for my number three as well. Okay. So it works out well.
Okay. So Denzel plays the bad guy, which I'm not used to seeing Denzel as the bad guy. But I love Denzel as the bad guy.
And a bad guy, he
is,
man.
It was so bad, right? I just loved it. I was just, he went so far left for me. I was like, whoo, had to see it a couple of times. Had to rewatch it a couple of times because I'm like, whoo, the acting. So what I'm pairing that with is what I call, and you know this gentleman, and he is as smooth as Denzel all the time. So I am pairing that with Fantesca, 2017 All Great Things Honor Red Blend from California.
And Delin is so happy to hear that. Yeah, Delin is so happy to hear that. That is a smooth wine, like velvet.
That's why I'm pairing it with this movie. Training Julia, Day.
Julia, I love you. You are the best. Okay. So that's, I got nothing else other than that's just a great pairing.
That's a great pairing, right?
Fantastic pairing. I think this film, I every time I watch it, I think about the fact that this movie should not have worked. It shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
If you put any two other people besides Ethan Hawke and Denzel Washington in these two roles,
would have been horrible.
It would never have worked. You know, every little scene, I mean, you have like, I mean, everybody's elevated. Snoop Dogg looks like the best actor in the world in this film. And he might actually be, I don't know, but he is fantastic in this film as the, you know, kind of low life wheelchair drug dealer kind of guy. When he eats the, you know, but like you see that scene and you just see how everybody is elevated in this movie because of Denzel, because of, you know, I mean, even Dr. Dre is able to pull off being a crooked cop. I mean, this movie should not have worked, but yet it does. And I think that's a better pairing than I had. That's a better pairing than I had. I was gonna probably go with, you haven't by chance, you know, I was thinking of the kind of like cholo kind of thing that goes throughout the film, you know, with mm-hmm. like Mexican gangsters and stuff. And I was thinking about some of the wines that you can get in Mexico that are tremendous that I just wanted to call out and say, you know, from Tecate, Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but I think you may have done it with Fantesca. I think that's a better one.
No, it's not better. It's just different, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would. Yeah. You know the beachy wines?
Oh, yes. They're delicious.
They are effing great.
They're delicious.
I wanted to use this pairing because, you know, I don't think anybody wants to be associated with the Latinos that are in this particular movie. They're not the best of characters. But I will also say it's a great opportunity for me to call out that there is fantastic wine in Mexico. And this beachy wine is amazing. And I'll tell you right now, if you were to drink, it's got these luchadores on most of the labels. And they make natural wine, they make pet nat, they make normal wine, or whatever the hell that means. And all of them are fantastic. All mm-hmm. of them are pretty affordable. They make a Syrah that I think is just absolutely could be put up against any New World Syrah. It is so good. I just love, love, love their stuff. And so I think it's a good wine, an easy drinking wine to watch this film with. But maybe it's on a little on the nose, you know, with the Los Angeles kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my thought.
No, it's good though. It's they make great wines there, right? People don't understand Tecate, Baja, that whole California, that whole Mexico wine. And that's why we're talking. I think it's great.
Good. Okay. Well, I'll take it. If you approve, then I'm good. Well, then, so we're on to your number two.
Man on Fire.
Oh, I almost put this on my list. Silva, I love this movie. This movie, you talk about, it's a slightly disturbing film. Tony Scott and Denzel is like one of the greatest pairings on earth anyway.
Tony Scott. Oh, we have to give props to Dakota Fanning as a little kid acting. Like, we have to get, like, right? And so the wine is Bodega Raul Perez Otrea de Vatulia, 2018 from Spain.
Wow, fantastic. You know, this was the movie that we talked about Glory being like where, or Mo Better Blues, where, you know, he just burst onto the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But this is that movie for her, you know? And to think about having a teacher like Denzel Washington next to you.
Mm-hmm.
When you do, I mean, this movie is a great movie.
It's a great movie. And I mean,
it's a remake too, by the way. I don't know if you've ever seen the original Man on Fire. It's like kind of like an exploitation film.
No, I didn't. I didn't even know it was a remake.
Yeah, it is. It's a remake from a film in the 70s. Anyways.
It's, you know what I love about this movie? And the reason I picked that wine, because Raul Perez is an amazing winemaker out of Spain. I like to call his wines, they're a gentle giant, right? They're expressive, but they're really soft. And you see Denzel becoming so attached to this little kid. He becomes very tender in a job he's meant to be hard.
Interesting. I think that's a great pairing.
So that's
love that. I think that Man on Fire is a movie that you need some alcohol to watch. You gotta drink during that film. It's so stressful.
Oh, it's rough. Yes.
Yeah, it's very stressful. It's got that great Tony Scott thing. I love it. That style where he started doing like the, you know, all sorts of crazy color shifts and, you know, the movie cuts real fast and it's like the opposite of how you'd think a guy his age would edit. It's, I'm a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that could be a better lead into my number two, which is Unstoppable. Denzel Washington, Chris Pine. It is Tony Scott's last film. It's about that train that goes, you know, starts mm-hmm. going. And the two of them have to figure out, you got Denzel, who's this, you know, kind of grizzled old train yard worker, you know, conductor and all this stuff. And they're real working guys. And then you got the upstart, you know, cocky Chris Pine character. And this is one of, in my personal opinion, one of the best action films ever made.
Yes.
It is so wild. After the first 5 minutes, every single shot for the rest of the film is moving, either by helicopter or by on the side of a train. I don't know how they filmed this movie. It's like at the very end of when they didn't use CGI for stuff and they smash and destroy. And, you know, Rosario Dawson's great in this film. It is just, you talk about a popcorn film that can be elevated to like the level of Die Hard. It is such a fantastic movie.
You can't stop watching it. You can't stop watching it.
And I'm going to take from a standpoint of like being a little on the nose, I'm going to take a real simple wine to pair with this. And it is, if you've ever had, I'm sure everybody has had Gerard Bertrand Côte de Roses. And if you look at this, you can get it in any grocery store. It's a, you know, very serviceable Languedoc rosé. But here's the reason I'm picking it. This guy, Gerard Bertrand, is literally unstoppable. There is nothing that is going to stop this guy from taking over the rosé world. If you take a look at what he is trying to do, he is just like, I don't know where he's getting his resources. I have no idea. We've done some filming with him for Somme TV that's coming, but I'm like, he is a force of nature. I don't think he sleeps. I don't think he stops working. I really don't know how he does it all. And so I'm picking that mainly because A, this is a popcorn movie. It's for everybody. And B, that's a wine you can buy in the grocery store. It's a simple wine. It's not, you know, it's affordable and it's good. You know?
I'm laughing because I'm currently, while we're doing this podcast, drinking a Gerard Bertrand wine.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I'm drinking Chateau L'Hospitalet La Clap Grand Vin 2018. That's what I opened up. That's what
that's amazing.
So it's just like, okay.
So he's truly unstoppable. He's got you too.
Yes, he has me too.
Yeah,
and he's fully biodynamic.
It's the largest biodynamic vineyard in the world, if people are into that kind of thing. Yeah. But, you know, my thoughts on biodynamics is it gets winemakers out in the vineyard more, so good, you know? Well, so yeah, that's my pairing with Unstoppable.
I love it. Rosé.
That's a great, it's just a movie you need to watch. It's just so good. So, well, what's your one?
Okay, so my one is actually two parts. My one is The Equalizer 1 and 2. The equal. Yes. Okay.
You and I have very similar taste in movies.
Okay. But both two movies, two different ones. Equalizer 1, Chateau Malartic, La Gravière, 2016, Bordeaux.
Okay. I'm looking forward to hearing why.
Because both, it's just in, you know, when you see Denzel in the first Equalizer, he's so calm, right? And then all of a sudden he's like, boom, bam, in your face. We're talking Bordeaux, right? Hey, we're here. We're coming for you. That's how I think of Bordeaux at the time. It's like we're in your face, right? And all of a sudden, Denzel just booms in your face. Equalizer Part 2, he still is in your face, but he's softened a little bit. So with that, I'm going to Chateau Dauphin, Rondillon, Cuvée d'Or, another Bordeaux, but it's a sweet Bordeaux. They're not part of the Sauternes AOC, but they are a sweet Bordeaux wine. So I'm sticking with Bordeaux for the Equalizer 1 and 2.
I think this is a great call. I'm in. Those are also stressful movies. You got to drink, you know?
Yes.
Those are stressful movies. All right. Well, is it my one? I guess it is.
It's your one, yeah.
So this movie would be on my list of, you know, it rotates, but some of my favorite movies to just watch, you know? There's always like, you know, because I make movies, people are like, well, what are the best movies ever made in your opinion? Or what are your favorite movies? And it's always such a hard question to answer. This movie is not hard.
Okay.
Crimson Tide.
I knew you were going to pick that.
Oh my God. Crimson Tide is the kind of movie. It's like, I feel like I'm like talking about one of my kids. I want to hug this movie. I want to hold it close to me. If they release this film on DVD, I buy it. If they do a double DVD, I buy it. If they do a Blu-ray, I buy it. If they do a 4K, I buy it. If it's on iTunes, I buy it. I love this film. And you want to talk about movie stars being movie stars? You put Gene Hackman, who I think an argument could be made, could be one of, if not the best actors that's ever lived, one of the most thorough and respected and doesn't give a crap about anybody's opinion. Actors that's ever lived. I mean, he is just, and then you have Denzel, and this is another movie where you put any two people in those roles and it fails. And you look at the cast of this film and it's got baby Steve Zahn and, you know, it's got the James Gandolfini and, you know, just a number of people that are going to go on to do incredible, incredible, incredible things. And this particular movie, it also fits a genre that, and maybe this is like a dad movie genre, but I love submarine films. And I do. I love submarine films. And so here's what I'm thinking. I'm like, all right, okay, what wine do you drink with Under Siege? And so I started looking like, you know, they have all those like aged wines underwater, you know, and mostly they're gimmicks. You know, so I'm like, who do I recommend? You know, there's like Aqua or Ocean Age Wine, all these different companies. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think that's a little too on the nose. So with this being a film that I truly love, I'm going to drink a wine I truly love. I'm going to drink Lopez de Heredia, their Rioja Viña Tendonia. And that's what I'm going to drink. I'm going to sit down with a bottle of that. It's probably going to have age on it because that's when they release it. And I'm going to sit and I'm going to watch this film. It is the only movie that I can name off the top of my head that I will watch, and if it's not too late, I'll start it again. I just love this film so much. So that's my number one. And I mean, if you look at the amount of Tony Scott films we put on our list,
yeah,
it's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's unfortunate that guy is not with us anymore. Because I can only imagine what he would do continuing with Denzel. But man, I mean, this is fun.
Yeah, and it's so funny because you said Lopez de Heredia. I was going to put one on the list, and I said, no. It was between them and Raul Perez. So it was like, and then I was like,
they're both good choices.
I know, and then I finally was like, I love Altria, though. Any Altria he releases, so.
Well, I feel like the Lopez, and if listeners of this podcast know that I'm a fan, and it's one of the wines that sort of changed my life and everything, but I think it's also a wine that, you know, you could also find a way to pair it with Crimson Tide. That's a film under pressure. This is a winery that barely survived the Spanish Civil War. It's headed by a woman who's had to deal with all sorts of stuff for just being a woman. I think it fits in the regards to this winery's always been under pressure. And I could find a way to rationalize it, you know, that way. But also, I just love the wine. I love the film. And that's what I want to drink with it. So that's where I'm going.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, you know, I think we should do more of this. Would you do more of these with me?
Yes, because they're fun. See, here's the thing. I was the one who was like, the one thing I do miss now is actually going to a real movie theater and sitting down and having movie popcorn and movie overpriced soda and all the things that happen. And all, you know, I was one of those people like, I need to get there before the lights go down. I need to see all the trailers, all of them. I need to sit and I need to decide which one goes in the calendar. Do I go see it the Friday it opens or the Saturday? Is it a matinee or an evening movie? I love movies.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I miss it so much.
Oh, so much. So much.
I miss it so much. Well, I hope at the bare minimum we've inspired some people to watch a film tonight and or drink some wine with it, right?
Yes. That's what this is about. Find a film, drink some wine and go with it and see does your wine pair with your movie. I think that's fun.
Yeah. This is what wine's about. Well, Julia, I feel like this should just be your and my show. Anyways, you be safe. And Julia, thank you.
Thank you.
For your time.
Okay.
All right. Bye. All right, let's get drunk and watch a movie. Bye.
Yes. Bye.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to my conversation with Julia. I really want to know what other goofy stuff you want us to pair wine with. I mean, at this point, 2020, we'll pair it with anything, you know, any movies, any songs. I just love this stuff, love talking about it, and love it that you listen. Now it's time to talk about our projects. And 2020 has been... It's been tough. Look, it's been very tough, but we found a way right at the very top to keep filming. And I can't wait to share with you what we have coming. So a lot of people have been asking, when is Vertical Season 2 coming? And if you are a subscriber of SOM TV, you are probably aware of our show Verticals, which looks at the history and the story of iconic and interesting wineries. Well, we're going to announce those right now and talk about four films. With me is our producer and podcast producer, show producer, movie producer, Nadine Netman. Nadine, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. A lot of people who listen to our podcast, whether it's A Glassbury Palette or this one, or Reading and Drinking, or the soon-to-launch History of Wine with Matt Kaner, don't realize that this woman is behind all of the stories that you hear. So if you like the podcasts, you know, you have Nadine to thank.
And if you don't like them, you can blame Jason.
that's generally how it works. So, all right, well, let's talk about this this Vertical Season 2. You were around for Vertical Season 1, and you've been with SOM TV since the very beginning.
I think I was the first employee, actually, which is kind of fun.
Employee is a hilarious word, considering it's like my two cats, me, you, my wife, and Jackson.
Should I remind you have three cats? I don't know.
Oh, no, I have three cats. All right, I'm like two steps. I'm just like two steps to crazy. Okay, so let's first go back to Vertical Season 1, you and I. We played the closing night back in the before times when there were film festivals. Last November, we closed the Napa Valley Film Festival with Verticals. We had three episodes, the Kathy Corison episode, I believe.
The Lajay Meredith episode.
Yep, Carol Meredith.
And Schramsberg.
It
was great. It was so fun to see them on the big screen like that.
Yeah, before we get into season two, which, you know, obviously COVID slowed things down a tiny bit, but man, do we have some great stories coming. What was your favorite episode from season one? Just you personally, Nadine.
Oh, gosh. That's a very, very good question. You know, I do really, really love the Schramsberg episode, but I'm going to say my favorite one is going to be the Corison episode. I loved putting that one together. I story produced it, and I love just telling her story and how she just was like, well, watch me. And I love every bite of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Kathy's as a woman, I mean, Kathy is many things, but, you know, she's never somebody that's gone out there and been like, you know, she doesn't, I'm trying to figure out how to word this. She doesn't go out there and being a woman winemaker is not her identity. She is just a winemaker, an incredible, iconic winemaker.
Yeah. And she always says that she's so glad that winemaker, the term doesn't have a gender.
Yeah. I was pretty impressed that she was willing to open up and tell the story of going through this, you know, this profession from being a cellar rat all the way through being a Davis, learning and then being a winemaker. And thinking about it as a woman, and I think that episode is very powerful for that reason. I also adore her and know her personally, and she's just so wonderful.
I love her. I had been communicating with her before I met her in person, and I ran up to her and almost hugged her before I realized, wait, she doesn't know who I am right now. So I had to be like, oh, sorry, Kathy, I'm Nadine. Okay, and then we got to talk and hug. So.
Oh, that's funny. The I think I might have to take Schramsberg or the Leisure Meredith, but I also have a soft spot for the Ridge episodes. Man, I kind of like them all, to be honest. But the whole Nixon story, taking the bottle of wine to China with Hugh Davies over at Schramsberg. If you have not seen Vertical Season 1 or you're not a SOMTV subscriber, you really, you know, these are projects, and I can't overstate this. All of the films and all the things you see on our service, they are handmade by us. You know, 90% of our stuff is original content. These are stories we want to tell. They are not stories that are pitched to us. I mean, these are ones we go out and find. It means a lot to those of you who do watch and follow the service, because they really are, you know, handcrafted by our team, Nadine and I, and they fuel our drinking habit too. So it's nice.
Just slightly.
So, and then we had our first original film, The Delicacy, go on the service, which was really great. And that we're going to do a lot more of that. So why don't we talk about Vertical Season 2? And without giving away any spoilers as to what's in it, maybe we can say why we picked each episode, you know?
Ooh, that's a great call. Okay, I like this.
All right, so we're still working out the order in which these are going to go, and they begin airing very early next year.
Yeah.
So keep it on the radar. And again, I want to remind you, an entire year of SOMTV is $49.99. I mean, that's, you can't even get a bottle of wine in a restaurant for that price. Okay, so Where do we start? Which episode do you wanna mention? So here's the first six episodes of Vertical Season 2.
Yeah, Amy, with more ahead to come, but these are the first six that we're willing to talk about. I'm going to start with the Martinelli episode. So this family in Sonoma has been making wine, Zinfandel, since like the 1800s there. And I fell in love with the family. Like we spent a couple days with them. We opened a 1936 bottle of Zinfandel that was just phenomenal. And they just have a great story and this very steep vineyard. I think it's the steepest unterraced vineyard in the U.S.,
It's dangerous as hell, by the way. That vineyard is very, very dangerous. This is a great one. I mean, it's if you are a Zinfandel drinker or respect the grape and its history, and there is quite a bit of history when it comes to California, this episode's excellent. It's going to be supersized as far as longer than most of the episodes. And it really is a story of immigrants who came in the early 1800s and still have their name, still have their winery. It's incredible.
Yeah, and they're not related to the Martinelli family that does the apple cider.
Yeah, I think that's a very confusing thing. So the second episode, so we have one in Sonoma. Let's go with let's go over to Champaign, France. So we have chosen from Champaign a winery by the name of Pierre Peters. Rodolphe Peters is a grower, producer, champagne maker over in the Côte de Blanc, so which means he works primarily with Chardonnay, and he is, I believe he is the sixth generation. I could be wrong.
Yeah, he is the sixth generation.
And his story is just incredible. Aside from him being a good personal friend, someone I admire very much, and he's a lot of fun and just a good guy, good family man. He has an incredible story. I mean, their family has, you know, survived world wars. Their family has put up with the insane amount of trends and weather and global warming and all of the things that have affected Champagne. And so we decided to take a look at not a huge house, but a small house, a grower-producer, and tell the story of him and his wife and their children and them making wine in the Côte de Blanc. I mean, this episode's going to be great.
And all just the challenges with it. And they only make champagne out of Chardonnay. So they just do Blanc de Blancs, which is really fun. And oh my gosh, I love their wine so much. So this was a fun one to dive into, not just for the history aspect, but also for a wine that we genuinely, truly enjoy. This was great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So we have one in Champaign, one in Sonoma. What else?
Well, I think we'll hop over to Napa for this third episode. And this is Clos de Vaux. So a lot of people might know of Clos de Vaux from the Judgment of Paris tasting from 1976. It was one of the wines that was chosen. And for this episode, we interview several winemakers from their history, which was so fantastic, from Bernard Portet to Ted Henry. It's just a really great episode of history. And I mean, it's really, really, it's a fun one.
Yeah, this is a great one too, because Clos de Vaux, obviously, you know, it has a French name, but it really is, you know, it's a French family that has been in the wine business in one form or another for centuries. And they, came over to California in the very naissance when it was, you know, 1970 or so. And they built this winery on the Silverado Trail, which was then in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, it's a great story because you have France and America meeting, where I think a lot of people think that happened with Opus One and things like that. But no, I mean, Côte d'Ivoire is a pioneer in French families coming over here and recognizing that the soil in the area is really wonderful for planting grapes. I mean, I know that happened, pre-Prohibition, but after Prohibition, this is a big milestone.
I agree. So this next one, where do you want to hop to for this next one?
So we have another Napa one, and there's a big, strong reason with this.
Is it really just Napa, though?
Well, I was going to go Maya Camus.
Oh, I was going to go Maya Camus. Oh, are you going Maya Camus right now?
Stole it.
Did you just steal it? All right, fine. You go for it. Go.
All right.
I want to hear your take, and then I'm going to sell you out.
Good. Okay, good. So Maya Camus Winery is up on the top of Mount Veeder, and it is just historic as all hell. I mean, it was a ghost winery for a small amount of time after, in the 1800s. Then they bootlegged during Prohibition, and they are a winery that sort of encompasses all of Napa's ups, downs, sideways problems, everything. But also, they found a way to exist, and they found a way to keep true to their style, despite different ownership, despite all of the different things that have happened. But we do some things on Maya Camus. I'll let Nadine tell a quick story, but we do some things that are pretty special. We discover a bootlegger cave way out in the woods that has to be seen to be believed. And what happened to you, Nadine, during this?
Well, I will say, for all six episodes that we're talking about today, I think this one had the most adventurous filming. And with the excitement to get to the bootlegger cave, we were like, yes, let's do it. So five of us hiked about half mile, maybe a mile, through waist-high poison oak to get to this bootlegger cave. And apparently some of our film crew is immune to poison oak, whereas at least two of us are not. So myself and Jackson Myers, the cinematographer, got a heavy dose of the rash that lasted more than a few weeks for each of us. So, but you know, totally worth it.
You guys are such wimps. You know, when I was young, I had to hike up 2 miles uphill through poison oak. And no, you're right. I do not catch poison oak, but you guys got it real bad.
And maybe you don't catch it because you wore shorts and had to borrow jeans from winemaker Braden Albrecht to hike through. I think you had like the magic jeans on.
I did borrow his jeans. I had no other option. So yeah, that sort of is what it is. But that episode's great. I mean, that's trust me, we're putting. I am willing to put Nadine's life on the line for these episodes. What else we got?
I will hike through any amount of poison oak for bootlegger caves, just for the record. All right, for our next episode, we kind of go a little bit to Sonoma, but really we go to the Finger Lakes, we go to South America. This next episode is Paul Hobbs, and he is a globe-trotting winemaker that makes wine in multiple countries, including Armenia.
Spain, France, Argentina. Where else?
And then the Finger Lakes in New York and then in California. And so he opens up three different wines from three different regions in this episode. It's just really great to see him interact with his family and just see his take on winemaking and his career. And, you know, we have his daughter, Augustina, open a bottle with him. It's a really fun and touching episode.
Yeah, I like, the fact that I was able to go to Argentina as well as Sonoma to film this one. It was a lot of fun. This episode's great. It bounces all over the world. And Paul is a very exact guy, precise, some would say slightly obsessed. But he is really, really, really talented.
Would you know anything about obsession, Jason?
Yeah, I wear the fragrance every day.
That's awesome. All right. I wish there was smell-o-vision on the podcast.
Yeah. So then the last one, which is incredibly exciting, and you guys better subscribe to Sound TV. We have the very first look at Lafitte Rothschild that they've ever allowed. And so we filmed, it's going to be a supersized verticals episode with the Baron Rothschild and his daughter. And it is really, really, really special. We get into the war years, World War II, and the transition to a woman running the domain soon, which is the first time that that's happened in the history of that domain. And it's
that woman is Baron's daughter, Saskia. And so we spend some time with her, open up a bottle of wine from around her birth year, and then also one of her more current vintages. And we just get this amazing look inside this family that is not only very private, but also just very influential and recognized. And we were able to film inside and talk to them.
Yeah, if you liked Into the Bottle and you kind of liked the Domaine Romani Conti segment, which was another time we were able to be the first people filming somewhere, You'll love this. This is truly, truly very special and a big honor for us to do. So that's the first six episodes, several more to come. We'll talk about in a future podcast of Verticals, which will start airing early 2021.
Early 2021. And we've already started filming additional episodes, but we're not ready to release those yet. But here are the first 6 months of 2021.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And so let's talk about some movies we have coming. I'm going to try. This is a tough one. I just know that if you're listening to this podcast, you will be interested in this. We have many, if you follow us on social media or occasionally I've mentioned on the podcast, we have a film coming out about the Judgment of Paris. It is a top to bottom, everybody involved, true story, true telling of what happened and didn't happen and all of the funny little moments. And Nadine has produced that. Guys, this is going to be great. It is one of the next films in the Somme series, and it's called The Judgment of Paris.
This film I am so excited about, not only from getting pretty much all of the living winemakers involved, to we have interviews with people who haven't really been heard from much before. We filmed this during COVID, so that meant, you know, COVID tests for every shoot. We had multiple wildfires affect the filming of this, including, you know, midnight evacuations. And because we couldn't travel, we had to, you know, figure out filming in France and everything. It was such an adventure, but wow, is this film fun. Like this, if you've seen Bottle Shock, that tells a small amount of the story. We're telling the full story and I can't wait. And I think I can say this and I'm going to anyway. The release date will be May 2021 because to coincide with the 45th anniversary of the Judgment of Paris tasting.
Love it. Like this little break here that we're taking to record this is like my only break I've had from these projects. So, all right. So then we also have a film called The Whole Animal. This is about 5.5 years in the making. Some of you may be aware of it. It was originally titled The Art of Butchery and is now titled The Whole Animal. It is a globe-trotting film that films all over South America, all over Europe, all over North America. And it is about some of the greatest dishes using meat that have ever sort of been, you know, been created. And most of these dishes exist in very high-end restaurants, but they really, their origin is from villages and people who are trying to figure out how to not waste food, how to use the entire animal. And so we get into the entire kind of evolution of how we came up with all these different dishes. We go to Gascony, France. We go to Alsace. We go to Argentina. We go, you know, all of these different places, Alto Adige in Northern Italy. Yeah, this is a really, really special project.
What was your favorite meat dish you had while filming this?
I'm very partial to like the charcuterie plate type stuff. So like speck and jamoni ibérico and any, you know, there is a woman in the film. Her name is Kate Hill. She's an American expat who is in Gascony. She is a chef, a very successful chef with cookbooks and she creates dishes that are incredibly simple and yet they just rewrite your knowledge of what it can be like. It's kind of like if you go to Italy and have pasta for the first time, you've like never had pasta before in your life, you know, since you've had it there. And she makes these slow cooked, what they call third quarter of the cow or the pig, which would be the tough parts, you know, the stuff you have to cook down. And so she does a lot of work with that. She makes cassoulets and works with, charcuterie. And I think some of the cooking that she has done is just the absolute pinnacle of cooking I've had in Europe in my life. It's incredible. And it's all in this film.
That's awesome. And I just want to note, like, this film, although it explores the art of butchery, you won't see any, like, gratuitous footage. It's more just the...
Well, it's a food film. Yeah, it's a food film. But it also, you know, it cares very much about the environment. It's having made all of the Saw movies and Delixy, if you've seen that, my interest is, you know, food touches everything. It touches the environment. It touches your relationships with other people. Obviously, this being about meat touches animals. And I think that you have to have profound respect for where the food comes from, not just the land, but the actual animal itself. And so this film gets into all that stuff. It's, you know, I think it's an important topic. And that's why we made the movie. I had no idea it was going to take almost 6 years, but but it is what it is.
That's, I think, your theme for food films. Delicacy took 6 years. Whole Animal takes 6 years. What are you working on now that'll take another 6 years? Too soon?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think in 2046, I have a film coming out on mac and cheese. We've been filming it. It'll take about 30 years to make. It'll be great.
That's awesome. I've already had a lot of practice, so that's good.
Good. Should we talk Somme 4? Should we talk Somme 4? Or let's talk about Ghost of Spring Mountain.
I was thinking Ghost of Spring Mountain. So we have this special piece coming out, and it's still very much in progress, but it is called The Ghosts of Spring Mountain. And it really highlights the two ghost wineries that are on the property of Spring Mountain, one which we filmed 48 hours before it burned in the glass fire, and the other one, this beautiful building built in the late 1800s that is just magical and survived the fire, even though no firefighters were on it, and film inside it. And I don't know, it's really just a kind of fun and historic film. But
and
also
haunted as hell. This building is haunted as hell. Dude, come on. Right?
I don't know if it's haunted. I just know I don't want to be in there past sundown. And we were in there almost, the sun was almost gone. But I will say it didn't burn recently, even though the moss on the front door burned and two palm trees right next to the front door burned. It's almost as if the ghost held the fire away. But we'll see. More will be explored in this film. And it's going to be a great one. It's going to come a little later in 2021. But wow, is this a great project.
So to quote you, you don't believe in ghosts, but they saved it from the fire. Gotcha.
I think I said I wasn't sure about ghosts.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm leaving it
by
open.
The way, I just also should say that trailer for that is going to be up shortly on SOMTV, only for members first. And then it will go, you know, online and to press and all that other stuff. So Ghost of Spring Mountain, the teaser should be up probably while you're listening to this. It's up. So go to SOMTV.com, and if you're a member, take a look at it. We also have, before I get into Psalm 4, we have a film called Jelinots, The Secret Meaning of Chefs, which has some of the greatest chefs in the world in it. David Chang amongst them, and you know, a lot of very big celebrity chefs are in this, and they have a competition, and you sort of see them in their element with each other. It is absolutely hysterical. That film, the trailer right now is on SOMTV.com. If you are a member, you can watch that. That will be airing in the next few weeks on SOMTV. So
this is an annual competition that happens where they gather all these chefs basically in the middle of nowhere and have them cook all these amazing meals and these competitions and everything. It's really it's a really lovely insight look.
Yeah, and that's a SOMTV original. So that one, we're very excited. That'll be here before, you know, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So you'll enjoy that. Hopefully give you a break from your family. And then I guess we should talk about the fourth Psalm movie.
Yeah, right? So are we calling this Psalm 4, or are we just calling it the fourth Psalm film?
Well, it's called The Cup of Salvation, and it is a film that has been a dream of mine for quite a long time. As many of you know, I like history, and I have wanted to do something that had to do with wine and religion for quite a long time. And so this is a film that will be about many things, but it is about the origins of wine and where it came from, and we filmed in some pretty incredible, incredible places. And, you know, we have a lot to live up to with, you know, the three Psalm movies, and especially Into the Bottle with how much is covered in it. And, you know, this is a movie that I am very, very lucky to make. It is a different side to the wine industry and wine history, and it has an almost completely new cast, though I will say several people are returning. Carol Meredith is in this. Steve Mathiasen is in this. Dylan Proctor is in this. I believe that is it from the prior Psalm films. I could be wrong.
As of now, that's it.
As of now. Yeah.
And can we talk about some of the places you did film, or are we not sharing that yet?
We're not sharing that yet.
Okay.
The main reason we're not sharing that is because when I made the third film, all of the wines in that film sold out immediately and you can't find them. And so I would like people to be able to get these wines. And so, you know, it's not that it's like a big secret or anything. You can imagine we probably filmed, you know, in the Middle East and that type of an area. But I just want to try to make it so people can get these wines. They're very affordable and they are knockouts. And their story's even better.
How many bottles of wine were injured during this filming?
Were injured?
Yeah.
Hundreds.
That's awesome.
Hundreds. Mercilessly were injured. This is, you know, my ongoing task to set the bar higher and higher and higher with these films. I keep thinking people will say no, and they say yes, and so hence another Psalm movie. I want to know from you guys. I'm personally on Twitter, at Jason B. Wise, letter B, Jason, letter B, W-I-S-E. I want to hear from you guys. I want to know if you're excited about another Psalm film, what your thoughts are. You know, obviously, we make tons of content for Psalm TV, and we're listening to all of you. We want to know what you guys want to see as well.
Yeah, so it would also be great to hear, like, what projects you're most excited about. Like, is there a certain episode of Verticals that you're excited about, or is it one of the other films we mentioned?
Yeah, and if you guys know incredible stories in the wine business we should be covering, we want to know that too. So please reach out to us on our social media, at @Psalm_films on Twitter and Instagram, and at Psalm TV on Twitter, and at @Psalm_TV_streaming on Instagram. So please reach out to us, direct messages, whatever. You know, we really, really, really want to hear from you.
Yeah, and well, thanks so much for listening and staying on to hear our preview with exciting stuff coming very, very soon.
Love it. SOM TV is $49.99 for an entire year, and you can gift it for people. You know, I would recommend you get it for yourself first. But that's at SOMTV.com. Every single one of you that subscribes, we appreciate it so, so much. It's what makes it possible to do all these podcasts and film all of this content. And, you know, it means a lot. So please be safe and have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And make sure you have plenty of wine to deal with family if you're going to be with them.
Bye.
Bye-bye.